Happy Easter Saturday to you, Adelaide, a Triple M's dead set legends. Today we have Callum Ferguson, the former skipper of the Redbacks, and it's been a bloody big week for the Redbacks as well. We're going to get Ferg's thoughts on that. Ferg, hello, mate.
Great to see you, Tomo. What a day it is in Adelaide again for dead set legends. I reckon we're averaging about 2.5 clouds per week and about 27.5 degrees Celsius. It's like absolutely magnificent for us every Saturday morning. Great to have you with us, family.
Unbelievable. We had the full team assembled last week for the first time of the year. 1 week. Tommy Rockliffe's like, it's Easter Saturday. I'm off eating chocolate. I'm out of here.
Yeah, Cadbury's.
So we've got the former skipper of the Port Adelaide Football Club who makes his debut tonight down at Boundary or Special Comments, I'm hearing as well. Tommy Jonas, hello, mate.
I tell you what. Hello, boys. But I reckon Rocky's out there looking for the Easter Bunny. And you know what, Ferg? I don't reckon there'd be too many left in Adelaide this morning. They'd be on the road. So I hope they're all driving safely out there and across visiting some of the beautiful parts of our state. And, geez, wouldn't it just be spectacular? I was down at Middleton yesterday, down at Horseshoe, having a little dip. You were up at Swan Reach.
Yeah, at the Shack.
Lovely part of the world.
Stunning around Adelaide at the moment, isn't it?
Absolutely super. It's good because the weather's taking our minds off what the hell's going on in the football world because the Crows
we're going right off the top.
Nah, 35 points last night. Unfortunately, as a fan, disappointed like a lot of fans out there would be. But, you know, you watched it very closely. I know that, TJ. How'd you see it play out? No good, the Crows.
Look, straight off the bat, I think they call them the Razzies in the movie game where it's a nomination for one of the worst movies of the year. I could have probably put that game of footy up as a Razzie for the AFL season because that was not great to watch. I was hoping that maybe the lights would go out and they'd call it off at some point.
But,
look, I mean, the skills from both sides weren't fantastic. If they had hit the scoreboard, it would have been a little bit different. But, it wasn't flattering for the Crows. Obviously, when Freo come away with the 4 points, they're very content. And I think we got to start by giving them a little bit of credit. Like, their midfield was more damaging than the Crows. In terms of numbers, it wasn't a huge, huge difference there, but certainly more damaging. Their backs were able to mop everything up. They were very strong. You had Pierce put the blanket on Tex. He wasn't getting great delivery, but he is a big, strong man. Probably not what the Texan needs when he's got a sore back. Yeah. And then their smaller backs, you know, Clark and Ryan were able to just rebound and sort of do whatever they want. You got to give Freo a bit first. And then on the other side of the coin, it just feels like the Crows are just not themselves. They're, you know, even last year when they weren't winning games, they were able to score easily and they had a great synergy. It seems too many players out of form at the moment.
That's the big point there. They were the number one scoring team in the comp last year. They look nowhere near that, unfortunately, the Adelaide Football Club. What, total score of 35 last night and under 30 inside 50s up to three-quarter time, I think is the right start
One goal in the second half, Tomo?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so Tex doesn't, unfortunately, this is the thing. If Tex doesn't fire at the moment, especially with Thilthorpe out, sort of, you know, it's not great signs for the Crows. And Rochelle's a big one as well. No doubt about that, Fergus.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm looking at some of the stats over the last few days, and certainly Rochelle's form has dropped off a little bit. There's some stats getting around on that, which we might be able to go into a bit further. But certainly the damaging side of the midfield, it seems to have disappeared. You know, Dawson's not at his best at the moment. We're not seeing, you know, Rankin and Rochelle get through quite as much as what we expected. We probably thought they'd take another step forward in the midfield this year, and we're not really seeing that.
Mm. Yeah, I think Crouch, Laird, great servants, but they can't be the ones breaking lines and delivering the ball. Their job is to get it and give it to blokes like Dawson, Miller off halfback, hopefully getting Rankin and Rochelle through there more. They're not going to play 100% midfield. That's not going to be their split yet. They're not ready for that, and I don't know if it'll ever be that way, but they need to be getting in there and getting six or seven touches, you know, a half, and really being damaging with that ball. And at the moment, that's not happening. And that makes life as a forward very tough.
You're the captain when Butters and Rosie had come through the Port Adelaide midfield, and they were the exact same thing, TJ, as well. Do you see similar aspects? They are different players with Rochelle and Rankin as well to inject them more into the midfield. Is that the way forward for the Crows?
Absolutely it is, and I think when young players come in, you expose them to a little bit of footy down back, a little bit of footy up forward, because it, you know, can be a bit easier, and then you start blooding them through the midfield, and they're going to have times when they're a little bit flat and they're not right, and as a coach, you got to manage that and work out where they play their best footy to get their confidence up. But when you see Port going well, and I'm not going to harp on Port, It's Ollie Wines getting the ball and giving it to those blokes. It's not him kicking it inside 50. So that's the same for the Crouchers and Laird. Yep. You've got to give it to your talent and let them deliver.
So this is why I brought up Rochelli and Rankin just before. We were looking at some stats earlier, and Josh Rochelli, since he's signed the long-term deal.
6 years, I think.
Six years. So he's three disposals per game down at the moment on average. Metres gained, he's down about 130 metres per game, which is a significant number over a period of time on average. And inside 50s, he's having two less kicks inside 50 each game, which tells us he's not getting any more midfield time, which we expected to probably see as he developed. We wanted to see that damaging ball user inside 50. And Rankin, I reckon the numbers would be similar. We're just not seeing growth. We might not be seeing a dip like we're seeing with Rochelli, but we're not seeing the growth that we were hoping for.
Rochelli kicked three last week as well. And we can be as hard as anything as well. But Matty Nick's very, very optimistic still.
It's still early. It's still early in the season. There are some very, very good sides that are sitting at a similar record. So by no means are we dropping our bundle, but at the moment we're incredibly frustrated with where we're at. Yeah, so we'll sit down as a group and we'll nut through it.
Look, and I listened to his whole press conference, and that's fair. You certainly can't be throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but you have to start getting premiership points on the board. Everything that he said was very fair. They're not in enough, good enough form across the whole field. And I think, their forward line, they're not getting pressure on. Freo walked it out of there. Their back line's a little bit inexperienced. Like, Mark Keane was a shining light last night, but still inexperienced, and we're not getting that punch out of the midfield. They need some more help from their role players as well. We're talking a lot about Rochelli, a lot about Rankin, but when blokes like Pedler and McHenry and Sligo can get a little bit more of it, then it takes a little bit more weight off of the shoulders of those blokes that have signed the big contracts and have high expectations.
It's not always necessarily, so when we read those numbers out, it's not necessarily that their form's dipped. It might be their role hasn't probably gone to where we thought it would. We'd love to see some of those explosive players in the midfield a bit more.
Do we go to the family, I reckon?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the concern is, can the Crows actually make finals now? 0-3.
Yeah, we're in the same position as Brisbane, aren't you? Same position as Brisbane as well. Yeah, I listened to Fags's press conference as well. There's 20 games of footy left. So let's open this up. 1-3-3-5-3. Can the Crows make finals? We want to hear the frustrations. Jeez. We want to hear the optimism. We want to hear from the fans out there.
Yeah, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, 1-3-3-5-3. We have double passes galore to give away to Shotgun Willies as well.
Shotguns.
Oh, yeah. Gather around, happening. 1-3-3-5-3. Triple M. 12 minutes past 9 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide, the Dead Set Legends, 104.7 Triple M. Today we got Callum Ferguson, Tomo, and the former skipper of the Port Adelaide Footy Club, Tom Jonas. 1-3-3-5-3, Crows fans, can the Crows play finals in season 2024? Went down last night by 35 points. 1-3-3-5-3, we want to hear from the Crows fans out there.
Yeah, not just a poor performance, but also a couple of concerns. Miller goes down. He gives them a lot of that run and drive. They're talking about them lacking. And hopefully Murphy's not too bad either. But they may have to consider what's happening beneath them. Murphy was subbed last night, but Dolling, Nankervis, Parnell all were in the best yesterday in the SANFL. And they had a come-from-behind win. So they're going to be questions. You'd love to be in the position that, say, Michael Voss is at Carlton, where he doesn't want to deliver some tough news because everyone's playing well. It might be the opposite down at West Lakes at the moment.
Doesn't get any easier as well looking forward, Fergus. Like Melbourne, and this is the thing though with football, the short turnarounds. Melbourne played tonight, 5-day turnaround. That Thursday night, you have a million eyes on you. Like, it's going to be huge. Gather round's absolutely massive. It's going to be massive on TV. It'll be huge here in the state as well. Happens all Thursday.
Absolutely. And there'll be a groundswell of support around the Crows. Hopefully, they'll get a packed house. The quick turnaround, I think, works for the Crows. They can get over it quickly, get back out there and put it right the ship. But Melbourne, they've been a bit shaky at Adelaide Oval. They've lost a few games over the last few years when they've been over here, whether it's the Crows or even Essendon last year. So I do feel like it's a good matchup for the Crows coming in next week. Quick turnaround, get back out there.
I can tell you, as a player, there's nothing better than a quick turnaround. You just want to get out there and make amends. And I think maybe the big stage is going to be right for them. If not, there's going to be a showdown in a few weeks. We know what they've been doing in showdowns when they come in a bit as underdogs.
1-3-3-5-3. Can the Crows play finals in season 2024? We want to take your calls. We go to Gary at Port Turton. Gaz, good morning.
How you going, fellas?
Good, mate. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I
find it very hard to watch at the moment. But I just wonder whether the players, like with Darren Burgess, you know, his qualities are unheralded and like as a very good, you know, training coach and all that. But I just wonder, they look a bit cooked to me and they look lethargic and they look more like they would towards the end of a long season rather than the beginning of the season. And I just wonder whether the preseason's been a bit too tough. You know, there's a lot of clubs I know that go through the same, probably similar thing. But, yeah, they just look a bit overdone, I reckon. So
yeah, guys, I hope the whiting are biting over there, mate. But look, on the footy note, I reckon that can be the way when things just aren't quite gelling. I reckon, you know, sometimes you're trying too hard. I've no doubt they're working their rings off, trying to do everything right. And sometimes if it just doesn't click, you know, you work harder, you get less of it. Sometimes you just need to go back to playing instinctive, you know, footy with not a lot of expectation on you, and it might start to flow. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, they're looking fresh again.
Been big raps on James Riley as well, the assistant coach down at the Adelaide Football Club for the past couple of seasons, going back to Geelong now. Would that make a difference, TJ, like with the connection and moving forward with the footy?
Yeah, I think you're always going to have a little bit of that when new coaches come in, new players come in. You got to, you know, got a back line. You're trying to get that synergy. Those things do make a difference. And preseason is shorter, but I don't think that's an excuse.
Yep.
And we go to Antonio at Woodville Park. Antonio, what are your thoughts, mate? How are you feeling about it all?
You know, seeing the progression from last year, it's just a bit upsetting. Just with all the hype coming into this season. You know, we versus Gold Coast lost by a goal. The scoreline didn't really represent how he played. It was a shocking performance, but, you know, I get it, first game back. And then you look at last week, just our game plan is basically just to get the ball clear, just bomb it long into 50. And you look at Tom Stewart last week, got the most equal most intercept marks. And, I mean, to his respect, he's like a very good player. But, you know, we did make him look a bit better than what he is just by, you know, getting our clearances, just booting it down long. And like even last night, like you saw Pierce just played, you know, we made him look even better than what he is.
Interesting. Well, it's been 2 weeks, the Stewart and Pierce and Luke Ryan as well, that we just touched on earlier. They have had very good games against the Crows, Teach.
They have. I think if you reflect on that Geelong game, there was some good footy play by the Crows, and had they won that, this would be a different conversation. They need to get one away. I do wonder about the mental side. They said that they invested heavily over pre-season. Well, maybe the expectation is something that needs to be dealt with. I'm not 100% sure, but Nixie knows that things aren't quite perfect down there and there's a few boys out of form. Well, I mean, it's probably he'd be racking his brain how he's going to free those boys up and get them playing their best footy.
No doubt. Let's go to Brody at Pennington, our last caller for this morning. Brody, hello to you. What are your thoughts on the Crows?
How's it going? Yeah, I reckon Crows were extremely overrated from their season last year.
Okay.
They had a lot of close games that they lost, and everyone said, oh, they woulda, they coulda, if they did this, if they did that. Comparing both sides, being an SA lad, looking at Port won all those close games, and everyone said, oh, they should have lost, or oh, they were lucky to get that. Oh, so I think everyone viewed Port differently to Crows, more in a negative light, Crows in a positive light. Crows went out, didn't do any moves. Port went out, made all the moves they needed to do. Crows have come into the season, and I think that they're going to, it's all just going to happen. Whereas I think Port are the more hungry team this season. So I didn't think Crows would live up to those expectations. I think a lot of their games they won were due to fitness. I don't know how hard Burgess trained them last pre-season, but this pre-season going into the year, they all look like they're a little bit cooked.
Yep.
You know, Tex has a bad back, a few other injuries there. At Tex's age with a bad back, I don't know how he's going to be able to go coming back into the season getting healthy. It's always hard at that age.
Yeah, good call from Brody there. Don't worry about that. All the callers this morning as well. We're going to head them off to Shotgun Willing.
What, every one of them?
Every one of
them. Shotgun Willing.
Oh, they were too good. Over the Gather Round is absolutely superb. Now, the home base at Shotgun Willies is your go-to for the Gather Round after party. Live music, outdoor bars all weekend. It's an absolute treat.
TJ, you're eyeing it off, aren't you?
I reckon if they need an escort, I'm their man.
Oh, this is good. This is good. Go. Now, coming up next, I see here Greg Blewett, and you've got him in the game because you've heard something throughout the week, Fergus. Is that
there's
correct?
Some mail come through, and it's not good.
That's not good.
No, it needs a proper thorough dissection. Let's go into it next.
Okay, we'll do that here at the Dead Set Legend. Thanks so much for your calls. 1-333-53 is the number if you want to get involved at any time this morning here at Triple One. Oh, what a treat. Bit of smashos for your Saturday morning. 23 minutes past 9 o'clock. The Dead Set Legends, Callum Ferguson, Tomo, and the former skipper of the Port Adelaide Football Club, Tommy Jonas, joined us today. Eddie Maguire's going to join us before 10 o'clock because Gather Round kicks off basically Tuesday night. It's the old footy show's coming to town, which we cannot wait for. Eddie's going to join us and also had some big comments about the drug saga throughout the week. So we're going to get his thoughts
on it.
Yeah, just before at 10 o'clock today. But you heard something throughout the week, Fergus, as the cricketing, expert, I'm going to say, on this panel.
Yes.
You heard one of your fellow colleagues might not have been up to scratch.
Oh, it was interesting. I mean, there were text messages flying into my inbox. It was, honestly, like I was just driving along with the kids in the back and my phone's firing off and I thought, I better pull over. Could be some form of emergency. The Triple M text message, WhatsApp groups, there's about four of them firing. I was like, oh, what's happened here? And I get through some audio. Now, when I think of Greg Blewett,
yeah,
I think classy. I think prepared, sharp, and crisp with delivery. They're all the things we think of with Greg Blewett, aren't they?
Oozing with talent is my assessment.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
No
well,
doubt.
This is what came across my inbox. Right, so in cricket, district cricket. I think they call it grade cricket now.
Grade, yep.
Why? Why do they go from district cricket?
You should probably know that. You're the cricket man.
You're a cricket great.
Well, I don't understand why, but it's Division 1 and Division 2. This is the first summer of two divisions. In Division 1, Port Adelaide beat Glenelg. So well done to the Maggies.
Yeah.
Glenelg were the best team all year, but as in finals, as we know, they got it done. So congratulations to Port.
Right.
Now, in Division 2 in the final, East Torrens defeated Woodville.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry. Actually, sorry. I've stuffed this up.
No.
Division 1, East Torrens and Woodville are going down to Division 2.
Oh,
I haven't written this down very well. So they're going down.
Woodville down.
Down. And coming up are Adelaide and Sturt.
Sturt, good
so time. Well done to those two teams. And Adelaide actually beat Sturt in their Division 2 final.
Got the Kelly boys, Sturt, yeah?
Yes, they have.
They have.
Corey got five wickets. I know that. That's about
Ned.
All I can remember. Now, listen. Adelaide Turf, Division 1, A grade.
Still going.
Goodwood beat the undefeated all year.
What?
Tara Hills.
Jazz.
This is your team.
Demanded 2 to 3 minutes and then demanded.
It was the rustling of the paper for mine. What was going on there? Just having to flick through the Sunday Mail or what?
He had one chance to wrap up the grade season and that's what he delivered.
You tell you what, you can tell he doesn't, you know, never played much grade cricket or forgot about playing it anyway.
I didn't know what it was called.
Grassroots. What are they?
Grade Premier.
104.7 Adelaide's a Triple M. The Dead Set Legends ready to rock and roll for another Saturday morning. And I tell you what, Easter weekend's big. But what's going to be bigger is Gather Round.
Oh,
and
yes.
It kicks off on Tuesday night. The Gather Round Spectacular show is going to be at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre on Tuesday, like I said. He's coming all the way over from Victoria. He's going to dominate this great state. Eddie Maguire's hosting. Eddie, good morning to you.
I will just be a little part of what is already something massive, the old Gather Round. I was over last year and was a great supporter of it. And it has just been fantastic. Everything that we hoped that Gather Round would be in Adelaide, it just in general, and then in Adelaide, it just surpassed itself. And this year, I think it's going to have even extra coming off the back of Easter. And all games sold out. And, of course, we're adding the basically old grand final footy show on the Tuesday night. So
yes, how good.
It's going to be sensational. And I tell you what, we've got some ripping things planned. And can I just say this? It's not about me coming over the border. It's we're using Tom's part of the show.
And, yes, he is.
But what it is a real focus on Adelaide. So Adelaide people watch it, and it's not going to be like the old days where we'd go down to Arundel Mall and stitch everyone up on street talk.
Don't worry about it then.
We are going to, it'll be a, well, what it is though is it's a two-hour show, you know, with Delta Goodrum opening proceedings and singing, a whole lot of other things. Plus there's one part of it, which you always you know, say these things with trepidation because, you know, until they actually go to air, you're never quite sure. Yeah. But we'll blow everyone's head off in South Australia.
Okay.
It is absolutely, I'm so pumped up about it. And then the rest of the show is just great fun. So we're really looking forward to having a great time. And, you know, the thing is, this was designed by Channel 9 and also the South Australian State Government to give the supporters something. So, you know, they've got the Wednesday night for the corporates. This is the Tuesday night for supporters, $35. And family tickets, I think, is $120. So cheap. Come along and you'll see all the superstars of Adelaide, Port Adelaide and the AFL, all the other players will be bouncing in and out. And then, as I said, some absolute rippers. I mean, for that price, you wouldn't be able to go and see, you know, Delta Goodrum drive past you.
That's right.
Singing songs. Yeah.
Exactly right, Eddie. I'm chomping at the bit. I miss the footy show. But tell me a little bit more about what your view on the Gather Round has been and why you think it's been such a big success.
Well, I go back to one of the best things I ever did was come to Adelaide for the 1988 Centennial. A Bicentennial Classic.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the day. I remember sitting in the stand with a bloke called Kevin Sheedy standing behind me while everyone was watching the Northern Territory play, and this skinny kid who looked like he was going to get killed every time he got the ball, except no one could catch him, by the name of Michael Long.
Oh, yeah.
And Sheed's turned to Noel Judkins, his recruiting bloke, said, right, we're going to get this bloke. And that was the start of it. And in a lot of ways, it was the start of, you know, the revolution of Indigenous players coming to the AFL, which has just been, you know, one of the greatest things that's ever happened. Mm. So from there, but I found, you might remember when this was being talked up, they were really trying to head to Sydney. And I always felt that News Limited wouldn't back it. You know, Peter Volandis would trip over everybody. You know, if you didn't sell it, it would be a disaster. And they don't want to know about us anyway, apart from, you know, what we saw at opening round, which was, I think, exactly the scale of what we needed to have.
Yeah.
But Adelaide is a gun city. It's a football town, the sandful, the history. And as I said, it's got the right infrastructure. The ground is the key, is right in the middle of town. That Adelaide Oval is just fantastic. Oh, yeah. So then when it actually took off, it was just so good for us. And you know, excuse me, I was talking to Gil the other day, and he just said, you know, once they got a couple of days in, they realised, all right, let's quickly move to closing this. And here it is, and I hope it stays there forever, to be perfectly honest.
Bloody oath.
Eddie, TJ here. It's amazing to hear a Victorian pumping up South Australia like this. And when you say a little part, you've never been a little part of anything, I wouldn't have thought. So you are a genius marketing man, hearing you talk about South Australia like this. Now, aside from Hayden Wines.
In the past, my only criticisms were square goalposts, tin seats, and having to walk across without an air bridge at the airport. Now,
we used to crack the shits about that too,
I thought you flew by it.
I do love the idea of feeling like a rock star, but not the Beatles in 1964.
You know, one of the highlights for me is the brick wall at the parade. But look, you're obviously outside of the walls of Collingwood a little bit now, but they got one on the board on the weekend, which you'd be very glad about. What are you expecting? Is there a big travelling party coming over the Pies? And what are you expecting from them?
Yeah, well, I'm just looking, you know, even online at everyone talking about it. So the thing is, people captivated by it last year. And even in my case, I had to come back because I had other things scheduled on the weekend. So I was there sort of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm there the whole week this week and can't wait. So look out, Adelaide.
Yes.
My beautiful wife, Carla, is a one-woman economic stimulus package coming to South Australia. I'd be buying shares in anything that's got to do with food and clothes.
Burnside Village, I reckon.
We are going to tear up that town. But, you know, everyone is. And I think what the South Australian government and everyone involved last year, where the government got it right last year was, you know what it's like? You bounce the ball at the game, it doesn't really matter where it is, does it?
Yeah.
You know, Adelaide Oval, MCG, you know, even the shops are pretty tight these days. It's all the shoulder programming. So, you know, to have the front bar come over from Channel 7 and Fox Footy bring over their shows, but Nine, who's not even the broadcaster, come over and do the Sunday footy show, Footy Classifieds, and now this spectacular. So suddenly this is, you know, this is bigger than, you know, this is bigger than election, bigger than, you know, the Olympics, really, with all the shows around it. And, you know, Adelaide have really done it well. And, you know, having things at Bordertown and, you know, I know that even, you know, the country towns in Victoria on the road to South Australia have all planned big things, stop here, stay overnight or stop and have a barbecue all this stuff. So it becomes what footy should be, you know, good fun travelling circus and we all go there. And, you know, the other thing is full marks to the South Australian people. instead of, you know, pouring urine on us, they're actually giving us a bit of blood.
Once upon a time.
It used to happen at Vic Park, didn't it?
But I'm going to get serious for 1 second. Now, you made some comments about the drug policy and where that might go. Can you fill us in on that and what your views are around what's going on this week?
Well, I did a story about a month ago on Footy Classified. So, I mean, I know that this has been discussed. And look, can I just say this? I'm too old these days to make stories up. So this was a story that was done in conjunction with all the major people involved in football. And it was as much about putting it out there to get the reaction. My understanding is that a vast majority of the players are sick of it as well, particularly those who don't partake and also those who are worried. Now, one of the major things, you know, that has changed with the Players Association and the AFL is this testing now on match day is far more sophisticated and sensitive. So the old days of maybe, you know, being able to get away with a bit early in the week is not going to happen. And we saw what's happening with Joel Smith. He is now rubbed out for life, basically. That's the end of his career. Yeah. So he's left at 30 years of age with a 3-month-old kid, you know, the best part of $1.5 million on the table. And, you know, that's that. And, you know, and being labelled an alleged drug trafficker at minute. So what we're saying is that, you know, you also, if you are getting into these drugs, you're not buying them from Pfizer. You know, you're buying them from the Comancheros or somebody like that. Yeah. So, yeah, no one knows what's in them. I mean, we see today there's another massive drug overdose situation up on the Gold Coast. There were 9 people in comas in Melbourne at a festival, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, this happens everywhere. We know that. Okay? So what we have to be is put the big boys and girls pants on and say, right, this is what happens in society. This is, we have to maintain an empathetic approach because we don't want to lose players because, you know, Tom, we won't go into names, but we all know that there's been some of the most celebrated players in the games who've had issues along the way, and we've got them through. And in my book, as a football person, people say, how many chances? And I go, as many as it takes. If we can save one and we save more than we lose by, you know, it's that far, it's not funny. But we've now got to a stage where the players are not needing us to collect money for the end-of-season trip because they're working as plumbers during the week and, you know, sacrificing for the club. Everyone gets paid now. It's big time. And WADA are coming after the AFL on match days, and it's too dangerous. The other thing that really scares me, and I go back, I suppose, to, you know, my journalism days, is there's 3 different ways you get rubbed out now for drugs. If you get caught on match day, you could get 4 years. If you get caught during the week, you get a strike. You can self-report. But if you get your photo taken with drugs, you get 4 weeks. Now, some of these guys are a bit fast and loose out and about, and the girls as well, as we've seen in Sydney in the last little bit. Now, you could, the blackmailing opportunity for people. Now, I mean, I could have gone around this summer and cleaned up half a dozen sides if I wanted to by taking photos or people leaking them to me. Now, over the years of Jenna, you know, we used to, you know, we know that these things are around, but these days the organised crime, they don't care. They'll chop your head off.
Yeah.
And the opportunity for blackmail and also that a club could be wiped out in one fell swoop, it's just now not worth it. So you do the add-ups and you go, why are we going to all this trouble when, in fact, what we should be doing is playing a little bit tougher, giving a bit more tough love, but at the same time love to stop these kids getting to where it's going to go. And the other fear I have is in 10 years' time, players who have been, self-reported 10 times and have played on weekends, come back when they've got, schizophrenia or their lives are in turmoil. And they say, well, you knew, why didn't you stop me? All you worried about was playing. So the risk to me has now gone past the benefits. Yes, look after them. You know, I suggested one of the things that was being discussed was 6 weeks for the first offence and named. Maybe you pull back on that. Maybe you go, okay, what we'll do is we will keep the first one under wraps. The second one, you get 12 weeks and you're named. And the third one, you're out. But if players, just like your kids, when you get kids old enough, as I have, if they know that they're going to be tested the next day, you know, it's like at school. If you knew you had a test the next day, you study the night before. If they know that they're going to be tested, it's going to go a long way to stopping their mates or nightclubs or partners or whatever who are into this sort of stuff pushing it onto players. It gives them another excuse to say no, and that's what I think we need more of.
Eddie, you're an absolute star, mate. When you speak, people listen. So thanks so much for your time today. Make sure you get your tickets to this. This is going to be superb. You can get them at Ticketek. $35 is a dead set steal. Or 1-333-53 right now. We've got doubles to give away. Eddie, we'll see you Tuesday. Thanks for your time.
Good on you, guys, and good luck for Gather Round.
Thanks, Eddie.
Cheers, Ed.
Great to be in the ears again of the Triple M family, Fergus.
Yes, absolutely.
A glorious Easter Saturday morning. And
doesn't get any better. Adelaide delivering again.
Yep, and we love it. And you two venturing out to great parts of the state. Tommy Jonas joins us right now and has dominated the first hour. Yes. Port Elliot yesterday for you, TJ.
That's it. I've had a great time with the family, but I can't think of a better place to be right now than up in the studio with you two gentlemen.
Yeah, oh, seriously. We deliver.
Well put.
Dead Set Legends every Saturday morning delivers this. Not a cloud in the sky, about 25 degrees again today, 27.
Swan Reach for you yesterday?
It was. Lovely. It was beautiful. The water was glass, not a breath of wind. The kids absolutely loved it. Layla and Spencer getting out on the boat with Ree on the back, skiing.
Oh, magic.
She's a star on the ski. Magic. Actually embarrasses me.
What, did you get behind the boat?
No, not at all.
Not just with those knees?
No, let the family get out there and enjoy it.
That's
and
good.
I don't want to waste people's time with me dock diving.
Nah, you'd be...
Every couple of minutes.
You'd be...
diving for carp.
Rig off in the observer seat, no doubt.
That's it. Oh, beautiful. Benny Keyes is going to join us next hour as well. We're going to go through that performance of the Adelaide Crows last night. 35 points down. But we've got to have a little bit of fun here. On 133.53, when did technology catch you out? Because something's happened up north. This is actually quite extraordinary. A bit of bombshell claims out of Brisbane. They're zipping through. Things aren't going that well, but apparently something got leaked out on a trip to the States loved ones back home. Sam McClure dropped this overnight.
Certain information got home to loved ones that didn't go down too well. It's caused rift in some relationships. It's caused other relationships to end between players and partners. And there's even suggestions put to me today that it's caused some tough conversations to be had between teammates as to what went on that US trip. I think that certain information via technology that wasn't supposed to have been turned on found its way from Las Vegas to inside some homes back in Brisbane.
Bloody hell.
I'm not sure too much news coming out of Vegas to home has ever landed anyone in a good spot.
On a boys' trip. After just drowning the sorrows of a grand final loss up there.
I'm not sure.
I don't think you'd be wanting to, when you're logging on back home in Brisbane and that jumps up on the iCloud link. What is going on?
What do you call those, Ferg? Are they golf trips?
Golf trips?
Yeah, no. I don't think there'd be anything like the golf trips I go on. Good grief.
Yeah, quite incredible. Now, I think we need to turn this into some sort of fun. Because when did technology catch you out? Because sometimes this can happen.
It can.
Technology can get the better of us all. Yes. And you shared a quick story pre-show, Fergus.
Yeah, former coach of mine, I remember back in the day, he was telling us a story where he was reporting back to some superiors. You know, he's in a high-performance meeting, and I won't mention which system or who this is, but... he was reporting to his seniors in at the establishment, and obviously you want to put your best foot forward.
Of
you want
course.
To make sure you're across, dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's.
Yes.
So he gets up in front of the, you know, looking very smart.
Oh yeah,
you know, button up white shirt, looking crisp, and gets up and he's got the PowerPoint remote control in his hand, and he's ready to go, and he starts beautifully. He's flying, and then he hits the button to get the screen up. Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
You know, high performance, this and that, and we're going to win this.
Ready to go.
We're flying.
Yep.
Best preseason we've ever had. Hits the button to the right of the one he's meant to be hitting, and it changes program from PowerPoint to Safari, let's call
Safari.
It.
Safari.
And let's just say what came up on the screen next sent a few people into cardiac arrest. I'm not sure, but let's say it was not safe for work. It was a live video stream, man. It wasn't good.
Oh.
And he's got up in front of the screen. And he's gone.
Oh, no.
Turn it off! Turn it off! For God's sakes, turn it off! Forgetting he's got a white shirt on, so it's just projecting onto his back.
Wow!
That poor individual. There would not be a hole deep enough.
Could you imagine that? Imagine the embarrassment.
Oh.
Sweating bullets.
You just got to close your tabs, TJ.
Old private browsing mode, incognito.
Oh, God. Control
shut
H.
Them down.
Control
shut
H. Them down. Get rid of it.
Just burn the computer down.
133.53. When did technology catch you out? Was it something to do with a Bluetooth speaker even? We've heard those stories.
Yes.
133.53. When did technology catch you out? We've got so many of these VIP packages to give away to Shotgun Willies, if you don't mind.
This, Shotgun Willies.
This is superb. All over Gather Round. We're going to get you in the outdoor bars all weekend. Two VIP packages on the line right now. 133353 home base. Shotgun Willies is your go to for gather round. 133353 Triple M. 20 minutes past 10 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's a Triple M. We're asking the question on 133353 right now. When did technology get a hold of you? Get a hold of you.
Yeah.
Just when did technology catch you out? Because it's sort of, it's happened up north, our understanding is, up at Brisbane. That's right, TJ.
Little end of season trip. Mm. The WhatsApp group may have been uploaded to the iCloud, we're hearing. So
all the way from Vegas. That can't be good. I don't care how you frame that.
I haven't been there myself, but I haven't heard great things about what goes on in Vegas.
No.
It was a very savoury trip. Greg Blewett and I took just the tables and at the back end of a Masters trip to watch the golf. Just
covering up some holes from 10 years ago.
No, putting my hand up and saying I didn't see the side that they did, obviously. But there was, when it comes to technology, it can be pretty tricky, can't it? We've all seen the you know, the dangers of the email on the phone or in the workplace. But an old coach of mine got caught out. He was reporting back to the hierarchy of the cricket squad and team that he was involved in at the time. And he was in front of everyone with the PowerPoint, looking crisp in a white shirt, button up, put his PowerPoint up, hit the wrong button. All of a sudden, his Safari came up on the screen. And let's just say it wasn't a savoury website he was on at the time.
Insane.
Stood up in front of it in his crisp white shirt.
Yep.
Thinking, turn it off, I'm blocking it. Turn it off, turn it off. It was just projecting onto his back. Everyone got a beautiful look at what was on the screen, the video that was playing, what he'd been helping himself to earlier.
Wasn't good. Was not good.
133353.
When did you get caught out?
Yeah, that's what we're asking. Yeah. Let's head out to Glenelg. We've got Annie there. Annie, hello to you.
Hey, how you going?
Good, thank
Great,
you.
Thanks.
Technology get the better of you, Annie?
Oh, yeah, bloody Apple is way too smart for, for our own good, really. Sync devices. So, you know, if you're texting on your phone, you're also texting on an iPad.
Spot on, Annie.
That's exactly right.
Which is very, very, very distressing when you forget to lock your iPad and your daughter is sitting in the lounge.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter was old. She's 17 at the time.
Yep.
But I was just into starting potentially a new relationship, early stages of stuff. And
Putting your best foot forward, Annie.
so she can read what's going on.
Oh, right. Righto. Yeah.
Has she recovered, Annie? Is she okay?
Oh, yeah, no, she's fine now.
She's all good. Yeah, and any explaining, Annie, or are we just under the carpet sort of style?
Yeah, look, just kind of went, you've just got to accept your mother's a grown woman.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not something that your children generally want to accept.
No, but it does happen. The daughter wouldn't be around without it all.
No, that's exactly right.
All right?
Exactly. Birds and the bees.
Yep, we'll go out to Valley View. We've got Amy there. Ames, what happened to you? Technology get the better of you?
Yeah, hey guys, how you going?
Good, thanks.
Fine. I started dating a guy who was a single dad of four kids. I had two kids. I thought it'd be great to, send him a bit of a cheeky picture.
Yeah.
Instead of sending it to his messenger, I posted it to my Facebook story, which was also my business page, which also has all his teenage boys, my children.
Oh, hang on.
But luckily, technology actually saved me, because if Facebook detects nipples or whatever, they just take it down and ban you for 48 hours.
You're banned from your own business.
But I had to explain to all of my clients why my Facebook business page wasn't working and why they couldn't contact me.
Oh, my God.
And I hope you just put a bit of mayo on that explanation.
Yeah. Wow. I love that, Ames. Just personal collection, but Mark Zuckerberg, just straight out.
Oh, no, he's not deleting anything. Sucks.
You would not want to see his Dropbox.
No. Pete from Everston. Pete, when did technology get the better of you?
Oh, g'day, boys. I was on a work trip with a young laddie and a young guy that I work with up in the Territory, a team of three. Two of them had been out on a road trip and come back. 2 days later, we got in the car and the Bluetooth from someone's phone automatically connected. The title of the clip came up on the screen in front of the car, and it was definitely a clip from a website that you need to be 18 to visit.
Oh, jingies.
Oh, no.
So the title was quite unsavoury, and we all just looked at each other, and no one known up as to which phone it was.
I love it. I love it, Pete. All our callers, we're going to send them off to Shotgun Willies, I think,
Fergus. Why wouldn't you? Seriously, on the packages that are on offer at Shotgun Willies, why wouldn't you just get them involved?
I couldn't agree more. Just a quick one on the Bluetooth. Just triggered a little memory, Fergus.
Oh, yeah?
It was just a mate of mine, and I should not name his name, Reese.
That's a classic.
He had a brand new waterproof case for the old phone. And just thought he'd go and test it out.
Yep, right.
And the waterproof case and the phone, went into the shower and went to relieve himself, I'm going to say that.
Yes.
Okay, so he's gone in there and he's had something up on the screen. Thought the case was no good, kept on clicking volume up.
No.
Bluetooth connected.
Oh, where to?
Lounge room.
Oh, who's in there?
In-laws. In-laws.
He just needed some endorphins.
Trying to relieve a bit of stress.
That's it. Little smoke-o break halfway through.
Oh, Reece.
Not on.
Reece.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. 104.7 on the dial. We're also on Listener as well. Morning, Adelaide. 29 minutes past 10 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide. Get us on the Listener app as well. LISTNR. You can also get us on the text line. 0488851047. Dead Set Legends today. Callum Ferguson, Tom Jonas, and Tomo. TJ, big game tonight. Easter Saturday. Melbourne versus the Port Adelaide Footy Club.
Enormous clash and probably massive. Port's first real test. I mean, we're just talking about two of the best midfields in the comp going head to head. I happened to listen to Christian Petrarca on a Dylan Friends yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, their culture and how they're working really hard on that, and also they're talking big moments in the game. And you know, I think they've been up against it a bit. They've been in the paper a bit, and I reckon that can galvanise a group. So I'm looking for a red hot clash tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a beauty. I can't wait, and I'm really excited to see these two midfields in particular. They're so dynamic, both of them. To see how they go head-to-head and how that matchup goes is really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, you know, the big outs for both sides. Stephen May doesn't play. He's very, very important. But I think someone like Adam Tomlinson, you know, can sort of half-fill that.
Yeah.
Those shoes. And then, you know, JHF, Horn Francis out for the power. He's just coming on leaps and bounds. He's dynamic. So they will miss him. There's no doubt about that.
How long is he going to be out for, do you think?
Well, I think we've cut some audio here, but it sounds like it's probably just precautionary, you know, one more week and hopefully he's back.
Here's Chad Corns talking about a JHF throughout the week.
He did some more tests this morning, hasn't come up as well as we'd obviously hoped, which hamstrings can do. From what I heard this morning, it's the first time he's done a soft tissue injury, so he wasn't sure what that was last week. He just thought it was a bit of soreness after the game, but actually a little bit more there. I don't think it's serious, but with hamstrings, you don't want to rush them back too quickly, obviously.
Bit of noise coming out throughout the week about Ken Hinckley, TJ, that getting players right for the back end of the year as well. Was that always the case? Was that the mentality when you were there? Or has that changed a little bit? Because there was, you know, 13 in a row last year, but then couldn't quite get it done when it was needed to be done. Do you reckon the mind shift has changed a bit?
Yeah, a little bit of a shift there, I reckon. I mean, 2 years ago, we started 0-5, so you're literally just trying to get a win on the board. You're playing anyone, doing whatever it takes to get them on the park. But when you've got that luxury of having a really strong year last year and getting a couple of wins on the trot early this year, then you start to think about maybe how you can manage your players through to the back end. Like, we won 13 on the trot last year, but we didn't win them at the right time. So I think there's a much bigger focus on finals performance, and if that means resting people throughout the year, they'll do it.
I think that's a smart play, particularly with the explanation around JHF not having done soft tissue before. That's really good management, I think, because as a young player, you just want to charge through every brick wall. You want to get out there. You want to play. So that's good management, I think. Make sure that the young kid doesn't blow himself up two or three times throughout the year and then be set back at the end of the year.
Is this the best you've seen Ollie Wines play?
Tell you what, it's right up there with Brownlow.
Isn't it?
I think when you see Ollie playing his best, he just goes about winning the ball and giving it to the blokes on the outside. He doesn't worry about any of the other stuff, and right now he's doing that. He doesn't have to have 40, but if he gets it and gives it to Rosie, Butters, Horn Francis 25 times, that's a very significant contribution.
Yeah, it's interesting because we talked about the Crows mix, how they've got a couple of guys that can do that, but probably not enough of the outside run. The Power are blessed with outside run and damaging boots, and I think that if we can get Ollie Wines back into that frame of mind for the longevity of the season, wow, that makes him a threat.
Just give it. I'm literally just remembered this. I watched it. Might have been last week that Ken Hinckley was mic'd up for Fox Footy talking about Zach Butters. This was in the preseason, February, whatever, and he's going like a, you know, fit as a mallee ball, just going completely nuts. Give us some insight into Zach Butters, TJ, for the Triple M family out there. How good can he actually be?
He's one of those blokes where you see him in pre-season, you're thinking, this guy is going to win a Brownlow. Like, and I'm not trying to put weight on his shoulders, but he knows what he's capable of, and we all do. We've all seen it. So for 3 years, I'm going, he's doing stuff that Robbie Gray wasn't doing in training, which you know, incredible. There's very few of them around. Last year, we got a pretty good taste of it, and he's just, like, he knows what he can do. He's really confident in his body. He started to take on a leadership role. He will keep going from strength to strength.
Mm. Exciting times for the Port Adelaide Footy Club. Really is, and our man tonight, debut down on the boundary, or special comments for Triple M as well. You must be pumped for that, Teach.
I'm really looking for a few lead-ins from Ditz, our Triple M man. Just taking me under the wing. But I mean, you know, I'd be very happy sitting on the boundary by myself, just cheering on the boys, maybe throwing in a few lines from time to time.
Perfect. I like it. I like
TJ,
it.
TJ, it's all out of you.
Triple M will be rocking football for...
Have you sat down with Bluey, actually? I just wanted to... Have you sat down with Bluey and...
Well, your personal vendetta through against Greg today?
Well, Bluey's an experienced campaigner by the boundary.
He is. Here is Bluey.
I tell you what, the only thing that would be better than this is to have a schooner with it. What do you reckon?
Bang. Ice cold amber ale at some point would be really nice.
What sort of drink would be really nice?
Would be delicious.
That fly in my eye really caught me out.
Triple M. Great day, Betfair. On board the Dead Set Legends, 21 minutes away from 11 o'clock. Callum Ferguson, Tom Jonas in the hot seat today for Tommy Rockliffe and Tomo Ferg. It's been a busy, busy week for your old mob, the South Australian Redbacks. Or are we calling them the Redbacks anymore? What's going on
there?
Well,
it's actually South Australia now. Okay. So about 3 or 4 years ago, the Victorians actually went down this path. They binned the Bush Rangers name. So...
I don't
now
like
it.
It
looks like the South Australians have ditched the Redbacks. You don't like it?
Nah, I
run me through it.
I love the Redbacks. I reckon it, because you hear South Australia, you think of the state. I don't think you hear Redbacks, you think of the South Australian men's side. Do you not?
And sidebar, I just love the nickname. Redbacks and Bush Rangers, great, unique nickname.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it at the moment. I'm a bit unsure, because I've lived the Redbacks my entire career and into retirement now. So I've always loved the Redbacks moniker as well, but they've made that change, and maybe it's to put more focus on the strikers, and they may see T20 cricket as a white ball. You know, you need a name and you need a moniker. So that's what they've gone with, and that will put more focus on the strikers, I guess, and take it back to more traditional lines with the South Australians.
But some news throughout the week, Jason Gillespie, no longer the head coach.
Yeah, so Charlie Hodgson, the CEO, who is heading all of this up along with the board, they've announced recently that Dizzy and obviously as head coach of the Strikers and the Redbacks will be resigning. And then Tim Nielsen was the high performance manager, resigned a few weeks ago. So they've got some big changes afoot. And obviously, to replace your high performance manager and your coach at the same time, that's going to take some work. So you've probably got to start with, I'd say, replacing your high performance manager, who can then be a part of the selection process for your next coach. So that's going to take some time now, I'd say.
And where do you go with that, in your opinion, coaching-wise? Is it someone out of the cricketing world, international experience, or, you know, the Scorpions coach has had a great record of success? Or do you go different altogether? Do you go to just the best person you can find in sport?
Yeah, I think you've got to scan worldwide. I think you can't just be thinking within South Australia or within Australia. I think you've got to be trying to find the very best coach that's out there. And certainly... What we've seen is we've seen the Sacker do that in the past, and they've also I remember when Jamie Siddons was being appointed, they appointed a committee of people that weren't just South Australian based, but I reckon Adam Gilchrist was involved in that selection and David Parkin. So I think that there is a reality that they'll go outside and have a look around. But Luke Williams, as you mentioned, who's taken charge of the South Australian Scorpions and the Adelaide Strikers women's team, has had a fantastic run recently and had huge success. So they've obviously got coaches within that are extremely qualified.
What about Dizzy? Did he, you know, in your point of view here, Fergus, did he have the cattle to work with? Did he get the best out of it? Or can someone come in with this? Or it clearly needs a top up though, doesn't it?
Oh, look, I think so. I look at our squad and actually think we're heading in the right direction, and we've got bowling depth
to the degree that we haven't had for a long time. I remember coming through with the first half of my career and just looking at some of the other squads around the country and the teams that were at the top winning titles. They had depth in the bowling. They were able to rotate, keep guys fresh. We're in that position now. Look at the performance of our bowling attack this year. It's been exceptional across both formats. So I just think we're lacking a top-order senior batter. Someone that, you know, bats 1-3 maybe that can really take charge in the early going, because the batting conditions over the last couple of years have been really difficult, even going back probably 7-8 years. It's been tough for the top orders, but particularly this season. So I think if that trend's going to continue, that top order spot's going to be crucial.
End of your career, those, you know, the decks were starting to do a fair bit more, weren't they, Fer?
Yeah,
that's right. They were pretty flat while I was playing.
I mean, it's a glass half full approach potentially as well. You know, I think you get the opportunity for potentially a clean slate. There's going to be a fair bit of adjustment, but there's a lot of positives to work with. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think the bowling side of things is great. We've got some good young players. Thomas Kelly really started to show some great signs, helping us win some games late in the year. And certainly Nathan McSweeney, we've seen him get an opportunity to captain the PM's 11 and also Australia A. So that's great recruiting. We brought him in a couple of years ago. Now he's really got his feet in the ground and roots dropped into the soil too. So he's one for the future. And what we have got and had over the last 4 or 5 years is Australian representation. We've got two guys that are, you know, rusted on test cricketers now in that side, Alex Carey, definitely, Travis Head. So we have been producing, if you look at Kane Richardson and Adam Zampa, prior to them both leaving in the last 2 years, they were also brought through our system. So we're producing international players. I think if we could bring in a top order batter, that would really help the depth of our batting and I think help us get to the next shield. But big moves afoot off the field when you're talking coach and high performance manager at the same time. They've got some work to do. Charlie Hodgson's got a fair bit of work to do.
Just I'll spring you with this one. You wedged it in last week to the last week's show. What's the potential rumour? Any more on the maybe an international cricketer suiting up for the Redbacks?
Yeah, I'm still digging on it. Okay. It doesn't sound like it's entirely off the table, but I'm not sold that it's going to be this year, but it's certainly something that they're open to over the coming years. So let's watch that over the next little bit. If they landed something this year, that'd be great though.
I like it, mate. 15 minutes away from 11 o'clock. Bernie Vince not too far away, and Ben Keyes is going to join us after 11 o'clock as we go through the 35-point loss that the Adelaide Crows had last night against the Fremantle Football Club. The Dead Set Legends, Callum Ferguson, Tom Jonas, and Tomo. Morning, Adelaide. Great to have Betfair on board. The Dead Set Legends, 5 minutes away from 11 o'clock. Tom Jonas in the hot seat today, which we are loving. Callum Ferguson and Tomo. Tommy Rockliffe will be back, we think. Maybe next week he's going to have a hell of an Easter, no doubt about that. But speaking of Easter, boys, what are we up to this weekend? I saw you up the river yesterday, Fergus.
Well, there's a national shortage, obviously, with rock around. We're going to be struggling to get a hold of any eggs for tomorrow. But thankfully, my wife's very well prepared, so we'll have plenty of eggs. There'll be a big hunt at our place. So my family's on the way back from Swan Reach today, and then we'll get into it tomorrow morning. So my job today is to set up the egg hunt.
Well, help out the Easter Bunny,
yeah,
obviously.
So make sure the bunny,
areas to be.
Well, he knows what he's doing, but I just need another set of hands just to help get to the high-reaching places and hide the eggs, whatnot. So I'm looking forward to that. My parents will come round and help with the egg hunt. My mum loves this stuff. She's a reception year one teacher. And she just... You know how mums just have a way to make things exciting for the young kids, and can't wait for it because the eyes lighting up, and you know I'll put some footprints around the place probably a bit like I do with Santa. So it'll be really cool.
Tell you what, Ferg, you think you're putting me to shame there? But you're certainly right about the mums and grandmas trying to extracting a little bit extra joy out of it. Like you know, you get to probably 10, 10:30, the hunt's done and dusted. All the kids are going bananas. They've had a skinful of chockey, and it's probably time to crack your first, responsible drink for the
day.
That's
right. Ice cold, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you've got to be careful as well. We did a bit of an Easter egg hunt. 29 degrees out there. So the Easter bunny come and put everything all out, but we waited a bit long. Melted everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh, no.
No, not good. Oh. No, you've got to be very sharp in these conditions, sort of low 30s, Teach.
Actually, a little Easter story that has popped into my mind from when I was a kid. Obviously, you know, you got your older kids, they snaffle up most of the chockies. Yes. And so we used to get them all into a group pool and then dish them out one by one. And my little brother, he's, you know, he's certainly a youngest child by nature. He gets, he's spoon fed. He gets you know, I'm probably one of you.
My younger brother was the same. Anyway,
we're slowly dishing him out. And he's just got this sort of injustice going where someone must have, you know, given him a smaller egg than someone else. Or, you know, or he thinks he got skipped. And he's just coming, like, we're talking 20 little solid eggs in a plastic bag. And he's just lassoing them around his head. It's like we're talking about the Simpsons.
Oh no!
You know, and he's coming. He's coming straight at the authority, and he's whacked him straight over the head.
Wow!
With his bag of chockies.
Rock hard chocolate eggs.
Rock hard.
Jeez, nothing that's worse. Hurt.
Nothing
that's
no worse. Good at all.
Make sure you enjoy your Easter weekend. Ben Key's not too far away here at the Dead Set Legends. 6 minutes past 11 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide. No Tom Rockliffe today. Tommy Jonas is stepping up beautifully. Oh, I'm going to say, Callum Ferguson.
Feeling big boots and a big chair.
Oh, yeah. He's going very, very well. Don't worry about that. Now, the Crows, unfortunately, no good last night. Down by 35 points versus Fremantle out west. And always love it because Benny Keys is someone that always puts his hand up to jump on board with media the next morning after a tough loss. And he's done so once again. Benny, thanks for your time.
No worries, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Keezy, zipping three, mate. So it's not a great start, and the three losses are against sides that didn't play finals last year. Do you feel like, take us inside the club, mate, do you feel like, from a fan's point of view, do you feel like you've played zipping three football, or is there a bit to work with there?
Yeah, I think there's a bit to work with, but also we probably probably didn't deserve to win either three games. So, clearly some areas that we have to fix up. So, we certainly, we've had chances in the games to really push on, but we just, we haven't been able to make the most of our momentum. And then once momentum's gone against us, we've been scored on. I still think there's a lot to work with, and, you know, we're obviously going to back ourselves in, having been together for a while now. But, clearly it's not working at the moment, but it's still early in the season.
Benny, Tom Jonas here. Thanks for jumping on, mate. Never fun after a loss.
No, that's right.
Is that resonated in Nixie's message? Is he glass half full still, or is there a couple of like serious work-ons that he wants you boys to address right now? Like, is it go away and have a tough conversation and make sure you're watching the footy tonight against your next opponent, or is it still, pretty optimistic?
No, I think it's both. Like, I think there's optimism there because, we've been in situations like this before, and, it's nothing new to us. But, there's also some hard conversations being had, around areas of our game that we need to fix up and just connecting it all up as a group. It's not panic stations, of course, but, we all want to fix up areas and we're all desperate to sort of turn it around. So, it's going to come with a bit of work and then still backing our system that we've worked on all pre-season.
Keezy Ferg here, mate. Your own form, I mean, you've changed your role in recent times a little bit. You haven't quite been the Tom Rockliffe supercoach pig that we saw in previous years, but I've been loving your role up forward. And I noticed you got a little bit more of it off half back yesterday. Did you have a bit of a switch of roles through the game?
No, I was still playing that half forward role. Was probably just shifting up a bit higher than previous weeks. Still playing that forward role and really enjoying it, enjoying the challenge. I think as a forward line group together, I think we probably look at the first 3 weeks and say that we haven't been at our best and we've let the team down in areas. So, yeah, as a line group, we're really trying to fix that up, really trying to create more of a contest and trying to lock the ball in. You know, I think, even going back to last week, there were a number of inside 50s that weren't able to lock the ball in. So that's an area we're working on at the moment as a forward line group.
Beautiful, mate. Benny, it's TJ again. Now, just a little change of tack for the listeners out there. What sort of person are you? Do you ride yourself really hard? You'll be dwelling on this over the weekend until you get your review done Monday? Or you try and switch off and, enjoy Easter with some, family or friends, whatever it might look like, and then just go into the club and just do what has to be done?
Probably definitely the one that, kind of pretty hard on himself and, has a a few sleepless nights after the game, especially after a loss, just sort of thinking about, what I could have done better and what I can improve on. So that's nothing new to me. Now, I've been around for, a little bit now, so I'm equipped with the sort of the mental skills to handle the ups and downs. It's not any stations for me. I'll do my review and analyse the game and take on my role as a vice captain, as a leader, and really try and get some of the younger boys up, trying to keep them positive, trying to keep them going, to try and get the best out of them so we can keep moving forward and get ready for next week.
Keezy, I reckon you blink twice, mate, and you'll be Thursday night, Adelaide Oval, gather round. Yes. It is a short turnaround, mate, and it's so good for this great state. If you could put the last three games behind you, you must be pumped to take on the Melbourne Football Club, who are going to play tonight, so they'll be coming off a five-day break. What's the best thing for a player like you? Is it a short turnaround so you can get back out there quickly?
Oh, I think after a result like ours yesterday, the short turnaround's great. You know, we have to move on. We have to start planning for next week, so guys don't have time to sit and chew on their, you know, performance from last night. We've got to move on and really get going again. So, yeah, I think this is a situation where it can definitely help us. And, yeah, obviously so excited to get back in front of the South Australian fans and, yeah, to have all the teams in South Australia and to kick that that weekend off is really exciting.
Absolutely, mate, absolutely. And can you give us some good news? Is there an update on Wayne or Murph yet, or are you still got to wait for the scans?
I'm not too sure. I've got to wait for the scans. I believe Murph's is a little bit lighter than Wayne's. I think Wayne's is a bit more serious, but that's just going off what I heard yesterday from them, so I have to wait for the scans.
Keezy, we've mentioned it a couple of times in the last 5 minutes, mate. A big thank you for jumping on board. Never easy after a loss. You're a good man, and good luck on Thursday.
No worries, fellas. Thanks for the chat. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Keezy.
Thanks, mate.
I like him. He holds himself in great stead, Ed, as did you, Tommy, as well. When you know, it was never easy, but you always fronted up after a loss as well. So is that something that comes naturally to you, or how did you go about it?
It's not about me, but he's honest as a day is long. He'll do anything for the team. He's the sort of bloke you need around those other, you know, big personalities, big players to make them better. But, yeah, you never like to do it, but you put the club first and you just try and make a good impression.
It's good insight hearing him talk about how he does have a few sleepless nights after games like that. It shows how much it means to these players and how much they care.
Yep, for sure. So the Crows take on Melbourne this Thursday. Gather round kicks off.
Oh, how good.
It's been big already.
Fire up.
We had Eddie Maguire on the first hour. It's all happening here at the Dead Set Legends, 104.7 on the dial. And we're also on listener. 16 past 11 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's at Triple M, the Dead Set Legends. Cal Ferguson, Tommy Jonas in the hot seat for Rocky today, and Tomo. And Bernard Vince is joining us right now. Just wandered in before he dominates the run. Bernard, hello.
Dominates the run.
The rub.
I haven't run for a while, but good to be in here. Yep. Busy day yesterday. I went to watch Glenelg play Port Adelaide last night, which was, Glenelg, a good Sandful side.
Yeah.
Geez, they moved the ball well. That was actually really good footy to watch. Port were pretty good early, but then...
Clean, smooth moving, aren't they?
Hosey, McBean kicked about 14. Hosey had about, kicked about 8.
Yeah.
Nah, it was very good to watch. Full house too, beautiful weather.
Yeah, beautiful.
Playing on kids, great. But I'm a bit selfish here. Just talk to me about my boy Tommy Cleary. He's definitely listening. He's on the way to the river. It's his first game in, 12 months. Did he sniff it?
It looked like it was his first game for 12 months.
Oh, hang on.
Hang on a sec. Close is a good triple M.
Come on, Burn.
Hey, sometimes you just need to be told. Nah, he was all right. He actually played up a bit higher. He played up on a wing there at one stage. Right. Close, number 17.
And any feedback for Hamish Hartlett on the Magnets? First time in the coach's box?
What I'm hearing is he made some good moves.
In the first quarter.
Oh, no.
Had some good ideas, just didn't make it.
Oh, no.
Nah, he was
pull the trigger.
Apparently, they reckon he could coach at a higher level.
Really?
He's very, very good, yes.
Natural.
He's got what it takes.
It's good. Got what it takes. So, yeah, he coached from the bench and... Didn't work for Nixie, but each to their own.
Let's go into that, mate. Yeah. 35 points down yesterday against Fremantle. Where are the Crows at? They got Melbourne in a couple of days' time. Can you believe it? Zipping three.
Yeah, Melbourne gather around, and then they've got to go back to Melbourne to play Carlton. Mm. So two tough games coming up. I thought they'd win this game. I did the Freo game last week. North Melbourne were pretty good for a half, but then Fremantle's class was too good for them. But I just thought Adelaide would respond after all the commentary this week around their midfield about how they moved the ball and their coaching or non-moves last week. I just thought they would come out as a proud footy club and bounce right back, and that didn't happen. So they've got this is going to be a tough little period for the Crows.
Bern, did you see any changes from the week before? Did you feel like they just rolled
the same thing
out and hoped for the best?
Or? Not really. I didn't watch it as closely as what I watched the Glenelg game, but it was on and I was watching it. To answer your question, the midfield looked the same. The forward setup was the same. I don't think it was the forwards' fault last week. It was just the way they entered the footy. Yeah. So I think they're going to have to make some tough changes. I think Rory Laird needs to go to halfback. I don't care where he wants to play or what he wants to do. I think he has to go to halfback. I thought Matty Crouch was, again, pretty good. Wins the footy, clean, sets other people up. So he's got to be in there. I don't think Laird can be in there with him. So need a bit of leg speed in around them. So I actually don't know what they do now, because there's not like they've got a three stars that are out injured that are going to come back in and fix that.
It's a bit like that. It doesn't feel like any particular line's letting him down. Just across the board, they're a bit out of form. So is it fair to say that probably not putting all of the blame on those big, tall forwards? It's kind of like when Tex was copping that criticism a little while ago that he wasn't playing his best footy. It's a lot to do with what's happening up the ground.
100%. The way that they, even the week before against Geelong win by 4 or 5 goals or whatever it was, Adelaide won contested footy, clearance, inside 50s by 13 or something. Yeah. So they're getting it. They're not delivering it. So it's the way it came in. They continually bombed it into the forward 50. But they said they're going to work on that this week and they're going to change a few things through the midfield, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, unbelievable. Gather round all happening and live at the district. JB and Bill are flying over on Thursday's show. That's right, Boo.
Yes, gather round it. Oh, I think it's called. Yes. I'm not sure, but everything we do is something that Melbourne do on their rush hour when they're in our hometown. Billy's Will, Billy's Joke, Billy's Bake, bloody Jimmy's this, Jimmy's that. How about we call something that we do here?
Bernie's Will. I'm with you. That's simple.
Get Bernie's Will back.
Actually, they banned me from that because I started to get a bit loose out of the crowd. So
you, loose?
Shocking. To do with those free beers.
And then they gave it
down
to Jars.
Yeah,
that went well.
That's a good idea.
That's even worse.
Take him down to the Dow Room.
Brilliant. Bernie's going to do the rub, dominate the rub next. I reckon we have an early minute, boys, because it's Easter.
Why not?
I reckon we'll just let In Excess do its work and we'll get out of here. So thank you, Bernie, for jumping on board. You too, TJ.
Thanks, boys.
Super. Enjoy the rest of your Easter weekend. Make sure we're driving safe as well. It's been the Dead Set Legends here at Triple M.